This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد. The companion that inshallah ta'ala we're going to be focusing on this morning is the illustrious companion, one of the ten that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam promised paradise to. But even though he's from amongst these ten, he is perhaps the least well known. If I was to ask maybe many of you to name the ten companions that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam promised paradise, hoping that no one's already mentioned who they are, you'd give me Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali and maybe even Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas and some of the others. But there's one companion that very few people remember, and very few people know his story, even though he is from amongst those ten. Those ten in our religion, as we know, have the highest status amongst the companions. Those ten companions in this ummah, after our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are at the pinnacle of Islam. That companion, or the companion that we wish to speak about, is none other than Sa'id ibn Zayd, radiyallahu anhu. Sa'id ibn Zayd is one of those ten, and he's normally often mentioned as number ten as well in that list. And that's because we know very little about him. And that in itself is very interesting, that we don't know anything about this man. This man is one of the pioneers of our religion, he's one of the giants of Islam, he was one of the earliest Muslims, he's one of the ten that is promised, but is guaranteed paradise. And those ten are very few in number. Obviously, they are only ten out of thousands of companions. But even so, we know very little about him. If you were to look through the books of hadith, you were to study seerah, you were to study the books of Islamic history, you would find it replete with narrations and stories of Abu Bakr. People have written volumes and volumes on the life of that one man. And Umar and Uthman and Ali. And even the other five remaining, other than Sa'id ibn Zayd, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah, there are books that have been written on these great companions because their narrations are so many. Their stories are so many. The incidents that took place in their life are so many. But then when you come to Sa'id ibn Zayd radiyallahu an, you hardly have anything. In fact, other than the hadith promising him Jannah, naming him as one of those ten, even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself rarely spoke about him. As you've just heard from Mufti Menk in his speech, when it came to Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas radiyallahu an, there are narrations that we have. The day of Uhud, the du'as that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made for him. Those are narrations that we have about this man. Sa'id ibn Zayd? No. In the Sunan of Imam al-Tirmidhi, or the Jami' of Imam al-Tirmidhi, rahimahullah, when he's mentioning the hadith of the ten, he brings a narration of Sa'id ibn Zayd himself. He's the narrator of the hadith. And someone asks him the question, O Sa'id, who were the ten that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam promised paradise to? He said to him, I will tell you nine of them. I will tell you who? Nine of them. So he said, Abu Bakr fil Jannah, wa Umar fil Jannah, wa Uthman fil Jannah, wa Ali fil Jannah. All of these people are in Jannah. He did nine, and then he went quiet. He said, okay, where's number 10? There's 10 that are promised paradise. And Sa'id ibn Zayd radiallahu an is quiet. And then he asks again, where's number 10? And then Sa'id ibn Zayd says, and I was number 10. And this in itself shows you something about the character of this man. Tells you about his personality. What is amazing about the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and amazing, more amazing about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, is that the companions, those close companions, those few hundred that would interact with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on a daily basis, every day, every morning, every afternoon, every evening, they're interacting. They're the people in the masjid, they're the people walking with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sitting with him, speaking with him, remembering his hadith. What's amazing about them is they're all different in nature, different in character. Each one of them is different. Abu Bakr has his own character, his own personality. Umar has his own personality. Uthman has his own personality. And you're going to hear about these illustrious names, and you'll hear about their personalities. And then you have someone like Sa'id ibn Zayd radiallahu an, who's extremely quiet, under the radar, doesn't want to be known, doesn't want to know, does his own thing and stays to the side, doesn't get involved in other people's business, isn't one of those people who goes and puts himself forward, or who says that I want to be and I want to do and I want to say. He's always the one that's sitting quietly. And that is the personality of some people. You see, often the misconception that we have when we study the lives of the companions is that we'll read about the life of someone like Abu Bakr and Umar and then think that everyone has to be a model of Abu Bakr and Umar. Everyone has to be a clone. All of us have to be Umar. How many times we as parents, if you have children, you hear the life of Abu Bakr and Umar, and you go to your three-year-old and say, hey, act like Umar, right? Show me some courage and bravery. It's a three-year-old child. And that child doesn't even understand, and maybe their personality is something completely different. And so we want to bend and change their nature that Allah Azza wa Jalla has placed them on. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never did this. And this is something which we need to understand with the people that we work with our friends, with our relatives. Each one of them is an individual. Each one of them is different. You know, they say now that when you come to your children, you say to them, I love you all the same. What you're in fact saying to them is that you don't really differentiate between them. You don't know the difference between them. But one of them, you love them more because of a certain characteristic. And the other one, you love them more because they have a different trait and personality. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would do. And the sunnah is full of examples, and if I had the time, we could spend perhaps the rest of this day speaking about this, just one this one issue. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam understood his companions. He understood their natures. He understood their different personalities. And what makes him such an amazing man is that he was able to take their personalities and use it in a way that was beneficial for Islam. If this person's quiet and he doesn't want to be involved, there's no point in saying to him, you go and lead the army, you go and become the leader, you go and become the governor. Sa'id ibn Zayd radiallahu anh, despite being one of the greatest of the companions, only took a position of leadership once. Only once. When Damascus was opened and conquered in the time of Abu Bakr radiallahu anh, he was appointed as the governor. And only for a short period of time. Then he was removed. So it wasn't in his nature, it wasn't something that he wanted to do. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wouldn't impose this unless they were doing something haram, unless they're doing something wrong, unless they need to do something or change something because it goes against the teachings of Islam. Now we advise, now we change. But if that person doesn't excel in something, then most likely they're going to excel at something else. And so therefore the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would nurture his companions accordingly. Sa'id ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu is one of those companions we hardly know anything about. But what we do know about is that his father, Zayd ibn Amr ibn Nufayl, was one of those people who before Islam are known as the Hanifiyin, the Hunafa. These were a group of people that lived in the midst of Quraysh before Islam in pre-Islamic Mecca. And they used to worship upon the religion of Ibrahim alayhi salam. They didn't do idol worship. They didn't sacrifice to idols. They didn't make dua to idols. They didn't partake in all of those practices of Jahiliyyah. They used to follow what they knew, what had come to them of the religion of Ibrahim alayhi salam, meaning that they would worship Allah alone. They didn't have a Sharia. They didn't have all of those issues that we, you know, are familiar with. But they understood that you worship Allah alone. Zayd ibn Amr, the father of Sa'id ibn Zayd, and perhaps this is one of the reasons why he so early on accepted Islam. He sees within his own household a role model. Zayd ibn Amr, before Islam, he used to go to the Quraysh and he would say, I don't agree with any of these gods that you worship besides Allah. And I won't eat from the meat that you use to sacrifice to these idols. And I don't think that anyone is living today upon the real religion of Ibrahim alayhi salam except for myself. This is Zayd ibn Amr. He died before Islam. Sa'id ibn Zayd, when he heard of the message of Islam, and Sa'id ibn Zayd, as we know, and perhaps one of the few things that we do know about him, is that he's the brother-in-law of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu. The brother-in-law of Umar. And also his first cousin. His first cousin and his brother-in-law. Umar's sister Fatima was married to Sa'id ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu. When he first heard of Islam, when Islam first came, he and his sister were one of the first people to accept Islam. And they accepted Islam early on, even before Umar radiallahu anhu. Some of the books of history, they say that this was even before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered into Darul Arqam. Darul Arqam is the place where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to and his companions would gather, and it would be their kind of hideout before they openly started preaching Islam. This is where they would go and they would convene. He was from those people who accepted Islam at that time, very early on in Islam. Sa'id ibn Zayd is one of the first people to enter Islam. And he's not also from those people that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu called. As you'll hear, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, Zubayr ibn Awwam, many of the other 10 that were promised paradise, Uthman radiallahu anhu, it was because Abu Bakr went to them and he invited them to Islam. Sa'id ibn Zayd wasn't from amongst those people. He heard about Islam and he accepted Islam himself. Sa'id ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu, one of the few things that he says about himself is that I remember when before Umar became a Muslim, he would come and he would torture me. Umar, my brother-in-law, my first cousin, before he accepted Islam himself, he would come and he would torture me. We know that Umar radiallahu anhu before Islam, and even after Islam, he was known for his bravery and his courage, and his character was a stern character. If he didn't like something, he would let you know he didn't like something. He wouldn't beat around the bush and he wouldn't go there and try to... No hints. Umar radiallahu anhu would come to you straight on. When he heard that his brother-in-law was a Muslim, he didn't know about his sister, his brother-in-law was a Muslim, he would go and he would punish him. He would harm him. He would torture him. And Umar radiallahu anhu before Islam was one of the severest people against the Muslims. And that's why you have that famous story when a man and his wife are about to leave Mecca, they're going to migrate. This is before the migration to Medina. They're going to migrate to Abyssinia or somewhere. And before Umar becomes a Muslim, he passes by them. And the husband's gone off to gather their belongings and the wife's alone in the desert. And he comes to her and he says, "Where are you going? You look like you're leaving." So she says to him, "You've punished us so much, you and your people, that you've left us no other option except to leave Mecca." She's expecting retaliation. She's expecting to be beaten. She's expecting something. But Umar radiallahu anhu says to her, "Okay, have a good journey," and he walks away. "Have a good journey, have a nice time," walks away. She's amazed. Her husband comes back and she tells him, "Umar just came and this is what happened." So her husband said to her, "Do you think that this man Umar will ever accept Islam? By Allah, his donkey will become a Muslim before he does." That's how severe his hatred against Islam was. They couldn't imagine a day would come that he would accept Islam. But only a few months later, as Umar radiallahu anhu was going and beating someone in the road, he was beating someone, he was hurting someone, harming someone, that person said to him, "Why are you beating me for when your own household has Islam? Go and sort your family out first, then come to me." Umar said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Your sister is a Muslim. Her husband is a Muslim." Umar radiallahu anhu was shocked. His sister's a Muslim? Didn't know. So he left him and he went to the house of his sister. And you know the story. He will eventually become a Muslim. Whose house is he going to? Sa'id ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu. Sa'id ibn Zayd is one of the companions who, because of him, by the permission of Allah, Umar radiallahu anhu accepts Islam. And that's amazing. You know, often we hear about the life of Umar, his accomplishments, his achievements, what he did for Islam, the circumstances, the incidents, all of the stories that we know of the many, many, many narrations. But all of that comes back, inshallah, to the reward of Sa'id ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu. And if that's not sufficient as a virtue, then nothing is. It is sufficient for him that Umar radiallahu anhu became Muslim because of something that he did. That's where Islam began in the heart of Umar radiallahu anhu. In the Battle of Badr, Sa'id ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu was from amongst those companions who participated in all of the battles. But in the Battle of Badr, he is considered to be from the people of Badr, the companions of Badr, even though he never fought in the battle. Didn't fight in the battle. And that's because he and another companion, Talha, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam heard of the caravan of Quraysh, he sent these two companions to go and find out news about the caravan, the trade caravan that Abu Sufyan was leading. He said to them, "You go and bring me news." They went to follow the caravan. By the time they realize that Abu Sufyan has missed the Muslim army, he's going back to Mecca, he's managed to miss the army, because Abu Sufyan took a different path to the path of the Muslims. And obviously they don't know that the Prophet ﷺ has gone out to Badr and there's a battle. They don't know this. In those times, there's no social media, there's no Facebook updates. They don't know what's going on. So the Prophet ﷺ, the companions are in Badr, they're doing as they're told. By the time they realize that Abu Sufyan's come close to Mecca and they get back to the Muslims, Badr is finished. Badr is over. The battle's complete.